me to, he knew he was going to be gone, and he also told me he was going to do that video, so before my lesson today. My lesson doesn't have anything to do with that. First of all, I want to thank the congregation. I appreciated Tim's comments about the congregation here, and that's certainly true. And last week we had a special contribution for our missions this year, and we asked for $25,400. And at present, you've given $30,620.65. I don't know who put the 65 cents in, but anyway, it's $5,000 more than we asked for, and I understand that there's more that's been given that hadn't even been counted yet. And so on behalf of the mission committee, I wanted to thank you for your generosity, which this congregation is always generous, but we want to thank you for that. I want to have a challenging lesson, and I've really been praying about how best to present it, because I don't want it to come across in a negative way or a guilt way or anything like that. But I want to ask you why you came here today at this time. Why did you come here to this place at this time? Okay, I want you to think about that. Did you come to, I think Nathan read my notes or something. I think he kind of gave you a little sneak preview or whatever, but did you come to worship God? Probably many of you perhaps did. But, you know, some people in our society say, well, I can worship God at home, so why do I need to come here? And that's true. I hope that you worship God every day, not just on Sunday. That should be a part of our life, worship. So I don't really think that's the real reason we're here. Biblically, I think it's obviously something we do when we're here. Okay, and that's always right and good thing to do anywhere. But I don't think that's the particular reason we're assembled together here. Did you come to take the Lord's Supper? Again, that's part of what we do here. But I don't think that's I've even known people who came and they'd come in and they'd stay long enough, take the Lord's Supper, and then leave. And I think if that's the case, you don't understand, again, biblically, why we come. Okay? And I see people who come in the last minute and who, as soon as the last amen is said, and sometimes before that, they're gone. Okay, and if that's the case, I think you don't understand why the Bible teaches it, why we come together here. You're missing it. It can be from ignorance, you know, not knowing what God says, what the Word says, its purpose, its understanding, or it might be that you're immature yet and you haven't learned some things that hopefully you will learn. And that's certainly the case. It can be. You ever been in a building that had a sign that said, enter to worship, leave to serve? Okay. I've seen those signs. I don't know. I don't believe it's biblical, but I've seen the sign. I didn't enter to worship. We do worship while we're here. I'm not saying that's not true, but that's not why we're here. Okay. Okay, because you can, like I said, you can worship anywhere. So why are we here together? Okay, and do we only serve out there? We don't serve here. Is that true? We don't serve each other while we're here. Okay, so I don't believe that's what God teaches, and I want to share what I believe He teaches, and I believe that there are many misunderstandings, I guess, about why we come together. And you can just say, well, God wants us to. Okay, well, that's a good reason to come. But I hope we see the purpose and the meaning behind it. God puts us in a physical family. so that we can have children. We can help them to grow and mature and grow up and be the people that God created them to be. Okay, that's the purpose of the physical family. Then we have God's family. When you're born again, when you become a Christian, you are added to God's family. In God's family, you have children. Okay, through conversion, you have children, and you help them to grow up to maturity, and you help them to carry out God's purpose for their lives. So the spiritual family and the physical family are very much the same, in terms of what God wants. And actually, they should work together to accomplish that. But God puts us in a family because He knows we need a family. We can't raise ourselves. We can't do everything ourselves. We're in a culture now that says, me and God. You know, we're fine, but we don't need the church. We can just do it ourselves. And that's so anti-biblical. Okay, that's not what it's about. If you read even a casual reading of the Bible, say, well, what are all these letters? Who are they to? Churches. Well, if they're not necessary, I guess you just throw the Bible away in the New Testament way. Well, Why were they written? They were written to help build those churches up, to teach people, to help them to grow and to mature and to be like Christ and to be who God created them to be. Turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, in verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. That's all the leaders, to equip his people for works of service. And that's usually where I have to say I'd focus there. Okay, leaders, we're supposed to prepare God's people for works of service. But notice what else it says then. So that what? We're equipped for works of service, all of us. So that what? That the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Okay, so all of this is to what? Build us all up, help us to mature so that we can be like Christ. Okay, that's why God put all these people in the church and why He gives us all these to help each other, to build each other up. In verse 16, says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, that's you and me, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Each of us has a part in that, and each of us is involved in helping one another grow and build, the church build itself up in love. That's us. Because who is the church? Is it a building? Did you come to a building? Well, yeah, we have a building where we meet, but you came to be with the church, one another. In verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So even when we're talking, we're supposed to do what? Build one another up. And so we need to be sure that what I say, what you say, we needs to build people up. Not tear people down, but build them up. And help them to mature. Okay? In Romans 1, 11 and 12, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Isn't that what we're doing here? Hopefully mutually encouraging each other by our faith that brought us here, okay, brought us together. So I want to, that was the purpose of most of the books in the New Testament was to strengthen, to build up. That's why they were written. and churches. And all those churches, what? How did they, why were they there? Because that's what the Christians, that's what they were taught. That's what God wanted. That's how you build each other up. I want to talk now about the purpose of the assembly. Okay. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'm going to use two basic passages here, but you're going to, but it talks about when they came together, what were they supposed to do? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4 and 5, anyone who speaks in a tongue, we don't do that today, but I don't believe that gift exists, but at this time that people had these gifts and they got excited because they thought, man, speaking in a language I never learned, that's pretty cool. And so they really liked that gift. But he says, but the one who prophesies, which was teaches, edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongue, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. So what was the point of all this? Whether you get in, don't get lost in all the tongues and the prophesy and all that. But what was the purpose of it? What was he wanting them to do? Edify one another. Build the body up. That was the purpose of it. And they were immature because they were saying, oh, goody, I've got this gift and it's neat and it's cool. Look at me and it builds me up. But it didn't do anything for anybody else. Okay. And they were only, you know, and that's, we understand, you know, when children tend to focus on who? Themselves. Okay. They're immature. We understand that. They're children. They tend to focus on themselves. What do, if we become mature as adults, what should we have grown to do? Hello? Focus on others. Okay. We should be thinking about others and not just thinking about ourselves. Okay, sometimes we still, now we don't have any problem thinking about ourselves. Okay, but we should, if we mature, we should be thinking about other people. Okay, in verse 17, you are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. He was talking about somebody in the church who was speaking to them. He said, you're giving thanks to God, all right, but what? But no one else is edified because they don't understand what you're saying. That doesn't build anybody up. Verse 20. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children in regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking be adults. And this is all in the whole context. You can read 1 Corinthians 14. It's still there. You can read the whole thing, but that's his context. They were thinking like children. They were only concerned with what? Well, this is cool. I like it. For me, not thinking about anybody else, not thinking how I'm going to build anybody else up. Go ahead to the next one. Verse 26, what shall we say, brothers and sisters, when you come together? Is that what we're doing? When you come together, each of you has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. What was the purpose? When you come together, what's he trying to say here? What's the purpose? Build each other up. Encourage each other. That's why we're here. To be encouraged. Because what? Is the world going to encourage you? Is the world going to encourage you to be spiritual? Is the world going to encourage you to focus on God? Is the world going to do that? No, you're not going to get that from the world. Who's going to do that? Your brothers and sisters, people who are like-minded, people who have the same purpose, the same goal, the same, they want to be like God. They want to grow and mature and be who God called them to be. Is that who you are? I hope. You want to grow and mature and be who God called you to be. Okay, now let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. All right. 1 Corinthians 11, in the context, we're most are familiar with that. And it talks about, from verse 17 to 33, it talks about the problem they were having. It says, when you come together, they were eating and they had the Lord's Supper in together with a meal. Okay? But He says, when you get it, it's not the Lord's Supper you're taking. Well, they were eating the bread and they were drinking the wine or the juice, but he says, you're not taking the Lord's Supper because what? You're not waiting on each other. You're not paying attention to each other. You don't care about each other. You're just, they would have groups who'd come and the wealthy had plenty and they'd eat theirs and eat too much or drink too much or whatever. And then they'd leave. The poor people didn't have anything and they didn't care about them. And so in verse 29 and 30, he says, for those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, and he's not talking about Christ's physical body, he's talking about the spiritual body, eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many of you among you are what? Weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. Falling asleep is generally in the new reference to what? Dead. Okay, what's he saying? Because you have you're not paying any attention. You're so immature. You're just thinking about yourself. You're not focused on anybody else. It makes you spiritually weak, spiritually sick, and can make you spiritually dead. Okay? And so again, he's talking about a situation where there were people who were immature, were selfish, were focused on themselves. And not thinking about anybody else. They were just, well, come in. I'm here. I bless you with my presence. What are you going to do for me? And he's saying, no, that's not why you're here. That's not the focus of why we're here. It's not the focus of why we come together. We come together to build each other up. Because we care. And so we have to see when we take the Lord's Supper, as we just did, do I recognize that I'm taking it with all my brothers and sisters? And the reason they're my brothers and sisters, and the reason we're all together here is because of what Christ did for us. And that's the only reason would I know you if Christ hadn't died for us? Would we be together here? We wouldn't. I probably wouldn't know many of you, if any of you. Probably wouldn't even be in Huntsville. Okay. Do we recognize one another? Do I recognize my brothers and sisters? That they are my brothers and sisters? Do I care about them? Okay. That's what he's talking about, discerning the body. And he says, and if you read that whole context, he just says, you know, don't be so... You're all in a rush here and you're going to get yours and you don't care about anybody else's. You know, and that's that joint. The Greek word for communion is koinonia. It means joint participation. We jointly do this. So when we come, look at Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Have you considered that? How are you going to spur one another? Have you considered how you're going to spur me on? Have you considered how you're going to spur this brother, this sister? Encourage them. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. You know, there are some people that don't show up. They don't meet together. But what? But encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approach. All right, we come together to encourage each other because we care about each other. Because, well, and we're thinking about how can I see when I come in, I'm looking for you. I am. I'm looking for you. I look for Kay and I look for Elliot and I look for Ronald and I look for, you know, and I can go and I can name all of you because that's I look for all of you. And when I see you, I'm glad. I look for Thomas and Desmond. I look for all of you. When I see you, I'm glad. I'm encouraged that your faith brought you here. That's encouraging. That builds me up. But I didn't come. I came to what? I came to encourage Thomas and Desmond and Doug and Matt and Mike and Michael and each of you, as I see, that's what I came to do. In the New Testament, there are 55 one another passages. How are you going to carry them out if you're not together with one another? If you don't see one another? How are you going to do that? You can't do it. In order to serve one another, pray for one another, help one another, encourage one another, you got to be with one another. Okay? So the idea of, well, I don't need those people, means I don't care about them. Okay? And that's not Jesus' attitude. Jesus died for them. So how can I, why would I not care about you? Not only that, but I get encouraged and you get, it's mutual edification. I came to encourage you. You come to encourage me. Guess what? Everybody gets encouraged. But see, if I come and say, okay, I'm here, do something for me. And you come here, okay, I'm here, do something for me. See, nobody's doing anything for anybody. And nobody's being built up. Is that complicated? Game? Think about it. Well, let's go to the next scripture. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. That's five times in the New Testament. I just gave one, Romans 16:16, but it's in 1 Corinthians 16, 2 Corinthians 13, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 Peter 5. Same thing. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, holy kiss, that was their custom of how they greeted each other warmly. And the idea is to greet one another warmly. And the idea is to let people know you're glad to see them. And why would you be glad to see them? Because you're glad to see them. Okay? You can do that if you're glad to see them. Okay? So I'm glad to see you. When I see you, I'm glad to see you. But I want you to know that. And that's what that's talking about. Greet one another. Now, how am I going to greet one another if I don't see you? Five times out of the 55, 10% is greeting one another. And hey, and if you'll notice in the books, he's got greet this person, greet that person, greet that. How are you going to do that unless you see them? The idea is we want to greet each other. We want to let people know that we're glad they're there. I like that song in Cheers. You know that movie show, Cheers, about going into a bar? Okay. But they had a good philosophy. The philosophy was good. The place wasn't so good, but the philosophy was good. I want to go where what? Everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. I want to go where everybody knows your name. Okay? Don't you? Don't we want to do that? Isn't that a good place where people are glad you came? Glad to see you? Do you like to be around people that are glad to see you? Okay? That's the spirit of the thing anyway. And I think that's what God calls us to do. And build each other up in that way. So when we come together, we greet each other. That's an active thing. It's not a passive thing. We sing. Colossians 3:16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. We're singing to God and we're singing to who? Each other. Look at Ephesians 5:19-20. The next one. Whoops. They left one out. Okay. Well, anyway, in Ephesians 5, it says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speaking to one another. That's the idea. Okay? We speak to one another. We're encouraging one another by that. Now, if I speak to you, do you want me to speak loud enough for you to hear me? So, if I'm one... Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Who's that encouraging? Okay? If I barely open my mouth, you say, well, if you're, you know, the only reason we don't sing out is, oh, I don't have a good voice. You're thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about your brother. Okay? God said, do you think God's smarter than you? He said, sing. Speak to one another. So do it. It's not hard. Just do it. If you don't know music, I took a vocational aptitude and interest test in high school. I was below zero in music and art. Okay? So you don't have to have any ability. Sometimes I lead singing. Okay? Think about that. Okay? It's just sing. God says sing. Because He knows that's good. Is good singing encouraging? It is. Sometimes you get more encouragement out of the singing than you do out of the preaching. Maybe today even. Okay. But the singing is good. It lifts you up. It encourages you. When people what? Sing out. Now, if nobody sings, it doesn't sound too good, does it? And it's not encouraging. It doesn't lift you up. So that's the idea. See, we jointly participate in the singing. It's an active thing, not a passive thing. God intends for this to be interactive. Okay? Not we're not spectators, folks. This is the only thing right now that even resembles you being a spectator. And you're supposed to actively listen. Supposed to. Okay? Okay, I can't control that. Okay? And neither can you. Or you can for yourself. But and Tim talked about giving. Giving what? We're actively participate. We share in that work together. All of these things that we do when we're together are actively participate with one another. That's the point of it. And we encourage each other by it. And we build up the body by it. This is not something that you come to. This is something that you should be involved in. Okay? It's not an event that you just come and, you know, like an event and watch it happen. You're part of it. You're to be involved in it. And you know, you kind of get out of something what you put in. You know, if you put almost nothing in, you get almost nothing out. Okay? And then, you know what happens when we come as a spectator? Well, let me say, oh, I didn't think that sermon was very good today. Well, I don't know, that song leader, he's whatever. And, you know, I could do a better job of that. Whatever. You know, we just start rating everything about how good it is or how bad it was or whatever we thought. Because it's all about us, right? And we're not thinking about others and what we can do for them. The purpose of the assembly is to build, encourage and build one another up, to strengthen each other. I kind of think it's like, you know, I work with guys at the Way, you know, they, some of them go to Alcoholics Anonymous and I think there's Narcotics Anonymous, and I would call this Sinners Anonymous. Okay? Except we're not anonymous. But we're sinners. Okay, what are all those groups? They're support groups, right? To support people who are wanting to work on something together, to help each other, to overcome something. And this group is, we're here to help each other what? Overcome sin. Okay? And this is where you're going to get your encouragement to do that. Okay? And that's what this is. That's what this is about, helping each other overcome sin. And it's mutual edification as we worship God here. We do that while we're here, but it's to build one another up. So if I'm thinking about my brothers and my sisters, then I'm not just going to run out as quick as I can, say nothing to hardly anybody. I'm here to encourage. I'm here to build up. And I'm here thinking about my brothers and sisters. I'm not thinking about me. But you see, if I'm building you up and you're building me up, we all what? We all get built up. And that's God's plan. I think He knows what He's doing. Okay? In Matthew 20:28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. All right, we're all trying to be like Jesus, right? I hope we want to be like Jesus. Jesus came to serve. He didn't come to be served. Okay? And when we come here, okay, are you, as you think about it, are you serving? Are you being served when you're here? Are you thinking about being like Jesus? That we're encouraging each other to be like Jesus, aren't we? Well, what would Jesus do here? Would He encourage you? Would He care about you? Would He love you? If we're going to be Jesus, like Jesus, then what? We're going to encourage each other. We're going to build each other up. And so my encouragement to you, okay, is to think about why you're here. Why do you come? Okay? Do you have a word of encouragement? Can you encourage Nathan in the singing? Can you encourage the Bible school teachers as they teach their classes? Can you encourage one another? Can you let each other know that you're glad to see each other? Okay? Is that going to build you up? I think it will. I think that's God's plan. For us to build each other up so that we'll be stronger so to deal with the world that we have to deal with when we're not here. When we're not with each other. Okay? But I hope we look forward to being with each other and building each other up and encouraging each other. That's what God's family is about, maturing each other so we can be like Christ. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, we want you to be. God loves you. Jesus died for you. And we would love for you to be part of our family. And so we